We continue our studies in the book of Romans. And I want to read Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. And look at some thoughts that have really been on my heart for many years, really. But I think it's needful to understand this, and we will present them after we get through reading this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The burden of my heart as I study the book of Romans is when I hear the thought that we are saved by faith apart from the law, that sort of ruffles my hackles, I guess, if we have any hackles, because I know that we are not saved by a noun but by the verb believe. And I want to just read Acts 16, 30 and 31, just to remind us of the fact that Paul used the verb believe in telling the Philippian jailer how to be saved. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe, aorist active imperative, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The verb believe is used, it's aorist, showing you that it's an event. And it's in the active voice, which tells us that the Philippian jailer must do the action of the verb believe. And it's in the imperative, Paul is commanding him to believe if he wants to be saved. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, "But no man is justified by the law alone in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." This verse of Scripture associates justification, that no man is justified by the law alone. Really, it's what this is saying. It is evident, for the just, that is, those that are obedient to the moral law, shall live by faith. And so, therefore, when we think about faith, there is no tense, so we don't know when faith is executed or whether it is completed when you have executed it. And so, therefore, salvation is common salvation is based on the verb believe, and my lifestyle is based upon faith. Actually, faith is a noun, and it's a principles. These are principles of faith. Confident that our God does not lose control, and that He is wise and confident in ordering our steps. When we stray from the way, He is the one who will put obstacles and events and the Scriptures to speak to us, to bring us back into fellowship with Him, and to help us to be just. So, the saved live by faith, and the lost get saved by the verb believe. Now Romans 3:19 tells us that all are under the law. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. In other words, the law never quits talking. The word saith is in the present tense. It's present active. And the law is always reminding us when we are stepping out of line or when we are living within the law. It's interesting, the word under. I always think of the word under as hupo, being under, but this is the preposition in. It says here, it saith to them who are in the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, those that are in the law, their mouths will be stopped. Those that are lawless, they never stop running off at the mouth, so to speak. But the point is this, the whole world will one day become guilty, even though today there are many that don't think they're guilty of sin. So we're all under the law. And we need to appreciate that, particularly if we have the fear of God in our heart. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "What then? Are we better than they?" Who is the we in this passage of Scripture? Well, Romans 1:7 tells us that he's writing to the beloved called saints. Are we better than they? And who are the they? They're the ones in chapter 1 and in verse 29. They're the ones that are being filled with all unjustness. Are we better than they? Not really. No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jew and Gentiles that they're all under sin. We're all, every saved person is a sinner. And every saved person needs to make changes in their life so that they become just. And we will see why. And of course the law was written for the unjust. That's what the law is written for. 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 9, or through 10. "But we know that the law is good if it is used lawfully." And we're talking about the moral law. We're not talking about offering sacrifices. We're talking about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not have any other gods before you. The law is good if it's used lawfully, within the limits. In other words, there is a law about the law. You understand what I mean? There is a law about the law. In other words, the law is under control, where it has to be done lawfully. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a just man." If you're just, you don't have to worry about the law. Why? Because you're doing what the law would have you to do. So you are not worried about the consequences. The fellows that killed that officer this weekend, they knew that they were under the law. You know why? I know that. It's because they ran. And we do the same thing. We run from God when we are not doing right. And so the law is not made for a man who is being obedient to the law. For the law, but for the lawless. The lawless are those who can do anything they want to. They can steal, rob, cheat, you name it. They do it without any conscience at all. The law is for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. I think goes a little bit deeper than that. I don't think it's putting your mom and dad to death. It has to do with respect for them. You don't live around your parents like they're dead. You bury the dead. You don't bury your parents if they're living. You respect them. You care for them. Anyway, For manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. You know what? There's a law concerning sound doctrine and being contrary to it. We are not to be resisting sound doctrine. We're to be submitting to sound doctrine. So the law is good. And the law is for not the just, but the unjust. In Romans chapter 2, verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You can be obedient to the law and be justified as far and to the limit of the law. But we need more than that. Because just being just and being obedient to the law and being justified under the law just gets us started where we can start living by faith, where we can start pleasing God. Okay? That's just the starting point of living by faith. Philippians 3:6, Paul tells us, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul was just. He was blameless when he came to the law. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now this is a favorite passage of Scripture that people want to use. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Now, I've never asked them what that means. It's just a verse that they use that excuses them from any accountability, basically speaking. But this passage of Scripture is telling us very plainly, if you're under grace, you have to be just. You're not under the law. You don't have to run because you're not breaking the law. Because of what? Why can I say that? Romans 5:21. Grace is to reign. Sin can reign. For it says, for the sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but, Romans 5:21. That as the sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto life for the age. And I don't think this is imputed righteousness. I think this has to do with right living. The righteousness that comes with right living. Because you, for grace to reign, you sure do have to live in obedience to His commandments. Now let's continue. And if grace reigns, we can have life for the coming age. And all of this is done through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace must reign if we're going to reign. And if we are going to defeat the sin of lawlessness which can control our life. That's there's a definite article V before sin in verse 21 of Romans 5. Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, by whom, that is Christ, also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we get the grace that we are under? We get it by faith. It's not, in other words, we go to the throne of grace, a throne that we can't see, smell, touch. It's there. You know why? I know it's there because the Scriptures tell me it's there. And I go to it daily, hourly, when needed, to obtain mercy and to find the grace I need to help me in time of need. And so therefore we have access by faith under this grace. If you're living by faith and accessing the grace, you have to be just. You cannot be living in sin and expect to walk a walk of faith. It doesn't mix. It's like water and oil. It doesn't mix. In Romans 1:17, the context of this of chapter 3 is Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And so then how does faith come? Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And hearing, and what is the Word of God? I'm just reminding you of the fact that the Word of God is not milk, it's meat. And we find the Word of God defined in Luke 8, 10 through 11. And he said unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the mysteries pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. It's the mystery, that is, things that are hidden about ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now that's what brings on faith. When you hear messages on the kingdom, ruling and reigning, your confidence in God is increased. Your hope in God is increased. Your expectation for His coming kingdom is increased. And it adds incentive to change your life and to live trusting the Lord. Now, Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. I just need to stop here just a moment, because sometimes there's confusion what is meant by justification. People associate salvation with justification. You get saved, you're just as if you've never sinned, and you will always be just as if you've never sinned. That's an error. That's contradictory. Justification is an ongoing process. You'll find the word justification in the present tense over and over again. What does it mean to be justified? Well, Romans 8:33 tells us, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. What is justification? Not being chargeable. Not being guilty of living in immorality and in rebellion and lawlessness. Let me tell you, if you are lawless, you're chargeable. And so justification has to do with being charged or chargeable. So when we read in Romans 3:20, wherefore by the deeds of the law alone shall no flesh be justified. If all you're doing is obeying the moral law, you will be chargeable. That's the key. If all you're doing is, you know, you're not beating the old lady and you're feeding the kids and you're paying the bills. Of course, a lot of that's not in the law, but a lot of people say, you know, I ain't beating the old lady and I'm paying the bills and I'm putting food on the table and that's all I need to do. Well, that's not true. There's a lot more to it than that. If that's all you're doing, you're chargeable. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. How's that going to come about? Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith. If you don't. Now some people may want to say that this is a first class conditional. I don't believe this is a first class conditional at all. Because there's other passages of Scripture, particularly in Acts, that encourages us to continue in the faith and to continue in His grace. So if this is a first class conditional, it means that you cannot but continue in the faith, and that's just simply not true. Well, let's continue here. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, And if you are continuing in the faith, you know what you're doing? You're continuing in His grace. And not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel will keep you focused on faith. It will keep you focused on His grace. Paul, in Acts 13:43, and Barnabas, who speaking to them, those that they were encouraging in the Word of God, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And by continuing in the grace of God and continuing in the faith, we're going to continue to please Him. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. You continue in the faith, you're going to please God. And that's what we want to do. And you can't please God living in sin. So you got to be just before you can live by faith. I just want to hammer that home. That is so important. People think that it's all automatic. When you get saved, it's automatic. And it's not. Okay? Now, an example of being chargeable is in Luke 17:10. When you have done all those things which are commanded you, say. In other words, this is one time you can talk to yourself and not be put in a straitjacket. If you've done everything that's been commanded you, that is, that has to do with the moral law. If you're just, you can say to yourself, not well done, but you can say to yourself, we are unprofitable servants. Man, what a statement. Man, I'm trying so hard to be so good, and here I'm just being an unprofitable servant. Why? I've done that which is my duty to do. It's your duty to do the right thing. That's the bottom line. Living by faith is extra and beyond. In fact, in Acts 14:22, Paul was confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. That's what we're trying to do. To enter the kingdom is to rule and reign with Christ. To enter the kingdom is to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. And we have to continue in the faith. We have to continue in His grace if we expect to do that. We know that in the latter days, that the Spirit, back in 1 Timothy 4:1, says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, or latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Let me say this, when you depart from the faith, you know what else you've departed from? The grace of God. You have no power to serve Him. You have no power except in the flesh to serve sin. You depart from the faith, you've departed from His grace. In fact, if you are trying to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You can't please Him. That's in Galatians chapter 5. But let's continue. Hebrews 10:38 tells us, now the just shall live by faith. I think it's interesting that this phrase, the just shall live by faith, is used three times in the Scriptures. It's significant. It's used once in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's a significant thought that we need to have. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Pleasure and faith go together. Faith pleases God. This is not drawing back from both faith and obedience. This is drawing back from the faith. And if you draw away, if you fall away or draw away from the faith, my soul's not going to be well pleased in you. If all you're doing is behaving, I'm not going to be too happy with you when you stand in front of me. You're unprofitable. That's a pretty serious thought, if you think about it. If all you're doing is behaving, That's not enough. Okay? Doesn't have anything to do with salvation now. This is the common salvation is based upon the work of Christ on the cross. This has to do with after salvation. Okay? Now, Romans 3:21 tells us, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Well, they love this verse because the righteousness of God comes without the law. And to me, that just contradicts what we've been reading and seeing in the Scriptures already. So the problem is in the word without. And the word without can be translated in addition to. Now, I've included an extra page in your notes. And that extra page gives not my authority, but extra authority apart from John White. It gives the authority of Arden and Gingrich, Greek Lexicon, page 899, under the paragraph Epsilon. In addition to can be translated. It can be translated in addition to. And you see that in the Septuagint in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 17, and Numbers chapter 17, verse 24, and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. These are verses that affirm that that word can be translated in addition to. So when you read verse 21 of Romans, it says, "Now the righteousness of God in addition to the law is manifest." They both go together. You've got to be just if you're going to live by faith, because righteousness of God comes by faith. Okay? Now, I included 2 Corinthians 11, 27 through 28, and some other passages so you can see how it's used in the Greek text as well as, or in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament. In 2 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28, it says, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hungers or hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." The word "beside" is the word we're looking at. And it should be translated "in addition to those things that are without the cares of the churches." Paul had the cares of the churches in addition to all the other troubles that he was having, which is in verse 27. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, this is the feeding of the 5,000. It says, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men." Now, we wouldn't want to translate this without women and children, or besides women and children, because it wouldn't include the women and children, but they were included too. So it's the word "beside" here should be, I believe, translated "in addition to women and children." The men got a good meal, women and children did too. Leviticus 9:17. "And he brought forth the meat offering and took an handful thereof and burned it upon the altar in addition to the burnt sacrifices of the morning." In other words, there were two sacrificial events. And so the word there is can be translated "in addition to." Now, the combination of righteousness of God in addition to the law is manifested in the law and the prophets. And I think the prime example of that is Abraham. We've been over this before, but I think it's worth going over again. Abraham is the example. Genesis 15, 5 and 6. "And he brought him forth," that is, God brought Abraham forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, I know that the word "believed" in the Septuagint is in the aorist. But when I read Romans 4:11, I find out that "believe" is magnified because it is in the present tense in Romans 4:11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. He believed, and he is the father of all them that believe, and this word believe is a present active participle. I believe it's equivalent to faith. Abraham is the father of those that are believing in the present tense. Abraham believed in the present tense, and we need to do the same thing. Though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. And then, obedience. This is being just. And that's in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 2, 1 and 2. And this has to do with the covenant that God made with Abraham. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. The word perfect here has to do with ceremonially clean. That means there is no spot nor blemish on Abraham. A spot is something on the outside that happened because of something on the external, where a blemish comes from the inside. It pokes its head out on teenagers' faces. You know what I mean. Those are blemishes. No spot, no blemishes. Clean, pure. And he says, I want this kind of walk from you, Abraham. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. This has to do with the stars of heaven. Abraham was to be obedient. And Abraham believed God. He was a man of faith. Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up here next Sunday. We didn't get... I knew we weren't going to cover verse 22. But I'm going to read it again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe in the present tense. For there is no difference. Both Jew and Gentile need to be faithful in believing. Father, I just pray that you would help us to see the significance of being faithful to you, not only in being obedient, not only doing that which is our duty to do, but to do more than our duty, and that is to trust you with our life and to walk with you daily, accessing your grace and making it primary in our hearts and lives, that it might reign, that one day we might stand in your presence and hear the approval of a well done, now good and faithful servant, and reign in the age to come, the millennial kingdom. Bless these thoughts to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.